You don't need to go and invent your own product or find a product on Alibaba. It's very hard to compete unless you've got something completely unique. So what I now do, and what I since did in my journey, was everything you're going to do is to grow that business. But it has to be in the context of your overall wealth and where you're sitting in your current situation. I'm not married to any type of platform, whether it's Amazon or eBay. I'm really married to any platform or any business model that makes money. That's where you got to start thinking. If you knew Kim Kardashian, your bag could be the worst beach bag in the entire planet and it would still make sales. What is the business model for the future? It's digital. I'm Matthew Fraser and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Hey guys, welcome to Amazon Ecom Secrets. My name is Matthew Fraser, an eight-figure entrepreneur. Apparently that means something, but I can tell you I'm still stuck in the business matrix, but I did get out of the 9-to-5 matrix, and that is what I want for you too, at the very, very least. I want to share some of the insights I now have, having now achieved over $50 million in sales across Amazon and e-commerce and spending tens of millions of dollars on social media and Google ads. I've learned a little bit. And as I look back on the period, because I'm still actually selling this, I'm not doing this podcast with you as if that's in the past. I still am in the trenches today selling products using Shopify and Amazon and eBay, amongst other platforms. There's something that I want to share with you, which is, I guess, some of the downsides, I guess, of this model, some of the positives of this model. But more importantly, having had all that experience, what would I do differently? And what are the business models that I'm now considering moving into? Because you would say, Matthew, you've done over $50 million in sales. Everything must be just rosy and perfect. And you've got, you know, car collection and a beautiful home and what have you. Yes, that's true. But I tell you what, it's been fraught with ups and downs. And so let me share with you just the business model itself, if you're not even familiar with Amazon and what have you. So Amazon is a very good business model. You can create a product and ship it into the Amazon warehouse located throughout the world, and I sell on about 8 different Amazon platforms around the world: Canada, USA, Australia, UK, Japan, Europe, and many countries through Europe. And it's a great system because it allows the everyday person to get a product and sell it to a global audience. That is kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And in doing so, I don't need to worry about finding the customer, shipping it to them, because Amazon is going to take care of all that for me. They've created this incredible distribution model where they're attracting millions of customers every single day to buy products. And all you have to do is have your product in one of their warehouses and listed on the Amazon platform. That's all you have to do. But of course, there's more to it than that. Is, you know, which product do I buy? How many of those products do I buy? Do I have a profit margin in it? Because obviously you need to make money. You don't want to be doing this just to lose money. And so that becomes the difficult part, is the product itself, which is the right product to buy. And I guess through that period now that I've started from scratch, having tested products, my very first product, if you haven't heard this story, was a car chamois of all things. And I developed this from nothing. You know, I didn't invent the car chamois, of course, but I created this unique bullet-shaped tube that I thought was super awesome. And I came up with the brand name, and you know, the car chamois was camouflaged, and I thought it was really cool for the American market. And that was a great learning lesson for me, to the tune of about $15,000. Now, in looking back, the 15 grand, I didn't have any money back then. But I somehow scrounged credit cards and what have you together to pay for this $15,000. That included the inventory. But looking back now and in the position that I am now, 15 grand was nothing, right? 15 grand I'd spend on marketing, easy. So, but when you've got nothing, it seems like a lot of money. But I got through that process, then went into a different product, which was again, a kitchen-based product, started from scratch, and this was, I guess, the training that I was receiving at the time was telling me to go down this path. But the whole time I'm also thinking, how can I make this business model better? Do I really need to go and manufacture my own product, right? Why can't I just find an existing product, someone else's product? And that is the key part of what I now teach people, amongst other things, is to, you don't need to go and invent your own product or find a product on Alibaba. You could do that. It's very, very red. It's a red sea of products out there, right? It's vicious out there. It's very hard to compete unless you've got something completely unique. So what I now do, and what I since did in my journey, was I found, just by chance actually, it actually came to me, but it was a product that didn't exist on Amazon in a very, very small niche with very, very little competition, which ended up becoming high profit margin as well, and an in-demand product. And I was able to get an exclusive distribution on that product for places like Amazon, eBay, and on multiple territories around the world in the healthcare niche. And so what I teach people now is, what if you could go and find another existing product? And you're going to say to me, Matthew, where do I, they don't exist. Yeah, which is like saying that no new products ever come out, which, as you know, is rubbish. New products are coming out all the time, but it's a matter of how do you find these types of products. And I was finding, you know, over the years, I was finding these products all the time. All the time. They were either coming to me, I was getting inventors and brand owners contact me. Once I also became well-known in the industry of someone who could get these products to places like Amazon, because years ago, not many people could do that. So these brands were contacting me, and I was being selective in the products that I was even taking. A lot of these products, I was like, nah, don't even want to know about that. Don't want to know about that. Because I've also came down to having the right profit margins. So there's products out there, and a classic example is a client of mine who found a product for the baby niche, does not exist anywhere. I've just helped them sign an exclusive distribution agreement for this product with the inventor who's based in the USA. An incredible story, and just proves, there's one which happened just this year, and they're just about to launch their product into the Australian market under a license of the product. And it could be turning over, we think probably, not turning over, but a profit of probably about $250,000 a year for this couple as a side gig, because they're both working as well. So this is it's an amazing opportunity for this couple. But what are the flaws with this business model? I've just talked about the great things about what Amazon provides, but what are the flaws with it? Well, one is that a lot of people do not survive. I can tell you so many horror stories of people who design their own product. Here's an exact example. I just spoke to someone the other day. They designed, whiskey glasses and a flask in a pack. They'd gone to the trouble of designing this product, and it was made in Czech Republic, and it had a pattern on it, like a pattern design on it, and there was a beautiful, amazing packaging. Yeah, it got about 500 or 1,000 of these produced. Shipped them into Amazon. They get to Amazon, they open it up, all the boxes are wrecked, right? And what had happened is the person who packed it didn't pack it properly, so the pallets collapsed on each other within the container and just squashed the boxes, right? Now, I don't know, it was actually unfortunate, and I'll tell you why in a second, it was unfortunate that the glasses didn't break. And he said, Matthew, what do you mean it's unfortunate the glasses didn't break? Isn't that good? No, because what happened is, because I said to this guy, well, why don't you just get insurance claim on that? Did you have insurance on this? He said, yeah, I had insurance, but the insurance was only for breakages of glassware, not for the package collapsing and getting destroyed. And it was cheeky of the insurance company, because you and I probably wouldn't have even thought of that either, is you have to insure the package, not just the contents. Because the thing is, you're shipping glasses, the first thing you're going to think about is they're getting rattled around or whatever and they break. So when you open up the package, there's shattered glass everywhere. You wouldn't think that it would be the package that would be destroyed. So ultimately what happened was he's lost a ton of money is the very short version, probably to the tune of $50,000. And this was his first product sent into Amazon, right? So he's like you right now. If you're brand new to this, you're thinking, how can I escape the 9-to-5 rat race? I'm going to start this side gig. And you've now invested up to, in his case, it was 20, but there was a whole bunch of other expenses that happened after that with repackaging and reshipping. So he's now in the hole for $50,000 and he hasn't sold a single unit. So there's just one example of a physical product that if you didn't have it packed right or insured correctly, it could be a big mistake for you financially. Creating inventory and holding inventory also is a flaw in this type of business model. Now, the other thing is the Amazon system itself can also be flawed because although you might come up with an incredible product, you ship it into Amazon, you're just going to think, I'm just going to start making sales. Well, guess what, folks? It turns out that it's a little bit more difficult than that. So you've created this product, you think it's amazing, you've got amazing images, and it's in Amazon, you think it's going to start making sales. And guess what? Turns out it doesn't do that. Because it requires you to be exposed to the marketplace within Amazon, right? So let's just pretend you've created a yoga mat. It's the best yoga mat in the world. But your yoga mat, you find that there's actually 1,000 yoga mats on Amazon. So how are you now going to stand out in the crowd? And even if you said, yeah, but Matt, but I've created the best yoga mat. Okay, how does anyone even know that if they can't find your listing, right? And I hear this all the time from people who are new to Amazon. Here's another example. I'm going to create amazing beach bags. And this is a true story. And I said, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, but Matt, these are the best beach bags you've ever had and there's nothing like it on Amazon. Okay, great. How are you going to make sales? I always start with that bit. How are you going to make sales? Well, they're just going to be amazing. Yeah, but how is the customer going to find your beach bag? And even when they do find your listing in a sea of beach bags, how do they know that your bag is the better feel, better material, better rivets, whatever it is, right? How do they know that? They don't, because they can't pick it up and touch it, right? Because it's on a computer screen. So it becomes quite difficult. Now, that's not to say that you couldn't do incredible sales with a beach bag. If you knew Kim Kardashian, for example, and you could get your beach bag in the hands of Kim or Kylie, for that matter, of any one of the Kardashians, then yeah, your bag could be the worst beach bag in the entire planet and it would still make sales because it was touched by the gods of marketing, which is the Kardashians. And so that gives you the juxtaposition from each side. You can have the best beach bag in the world, but if no one knows about it, you won't make any sales. You have the worst beach bag in the world, but if people know about it because it's been touched by the Kardashians, then you could make billions in sales, okay? So that becomes the challenge. And so you get your product into Amazon, you've now got to pay for advertising. So my point is it's not as simple as just throwing up all your inventory that you've invested probably in the tune of $15,000, $20,000 worth into Amazon to just make sales straight away. So now you've got to try and get that money back. A little bit difficult. So let's talk about what am I thinking about these days, having now had years and years of experience in the Amazon e-commerce space. Drum roll here, but it's actually digital type businesses, which means that I don't have to hold physical inventory, okay? Now, what are these digital type businesses? Here's one that you probably have never thought about before, which is Kindle. Often referred to as KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing. It's operated by Amazon. Amazon has the Kindle bookstore, essentially. And your job is to simply write books, put them on the Amazon marketplace, and don't forget they're digital. You're not sending any physical books into Amazon. It's just a digital upload. And then you're hoping that your book is going to get sales, and that is simply it. But the average book to produce is anywhere from $300 to $500. That's average, okay? So it's not a huge investment to make, unlike if you're making a physical product. Having talked to a client of mine the other day, they added up, this is the beach bag business actually, that I said probably don't do it, but they insisted to me that they really wanted to do it, and I said, okay. They worked out that they've now spent in the tune of $20,000 of of basically R&D. So not a single sale, $20,000 already down. I don't say down the toilet. That's what I was almost going to say. Invested, $20,000 invested into that. Now compare that to a digital book, $300 to $500. So even if you make that and it doesn't make a single sale because you know you're still learning or just it was just a poorly written book, it's not a deal breaker financially, right? You can just simply say, okay, cool, that one didn't work out. I can now move on to the next digital book, right? So your job really is to research the Kindle book marketplace to find where can you get something that is going to add value to the marketplace and become a great selling book. But again, you know, it's about also advertising on the marketplace as well. So getting exposure. You could have, it's as simple as this. You could have two books that are exactly the same. They're both on cooking. Okay. Cooking, let's call it muffins. One book has an incredible cover, looks amazing, stands out on the page. The other one is very, very boring. They could be exactly the same book, but obviously the one with the better cover is going to make more sales. Okay. It also would help if you had a better title, better keywords, a better description. And that is obviously going to help you make sales. But again, you're not going to bury yourself in a lot of debt or money down the toilet, let's put it that way now, even if your book doesn't sell, right? It's just a matter of learning and reiterating, getting better and better. Now, what is another example of a very similar type business? And that is YouTube channels. And what I love right now is the faceless YouTube channel. Now, if you're watching this video on YouTube, here I am, an actual person having to talk into a microphone into the camera, which you're watching. Now that requires me sitting here for hours and hours filming to produce the content. Now imagine though, if you could create a digital YouTube channel where you didn't have to be the person sitting in this chair making, or even whatever it is, walking around talking about cars or even cooking, whatever. And that is the faceless YouTube channel, which you can now outsource to some other person or a team that are based anywhere around the world to produce the content. Now, what is a good example of that? I'm gonna give you an exact one I saw the other day, which is a Navy channel. It's all about Navy ships, okay? And all it was videos about, you know, the top 10 aircraft carriers and USA versus China aircraft carriers and who's got the biggest destroyers, right? That's the whole channel was about Navy. So a very, very particular niche, that particular channel had 300 and something thousand subscribers. Some of the videos had upwards of 30 million views on videos. The average, I think, across the range was about 5 million views. So this channel was monetized. And the way, unlike the Kindle books, when you make a sale, you get paid, the way YouTube works is when you get lots of view time, YouTube pays you, which is actually Google. This particular channel was actually for sale that I investigated. So 300,000 plus subscribers. It was doing about $45,000 a month in revenue. So just haven't listened again. $45,000 a month in revenue from Navy channel, right? That is astonishing. What was the profit on that, Matt? I'm going to tell you, $43,000 a month profit. They're only spending about $2,000 to $3,000 a month in content creation, which was outsourced to a content creation team based somewhere in the world, right? Isn't that absolutely incredible? So you didn't have to come up with the entire video. Someone else comes up with the video, and as your channel grows, you make more and more money. And now you could buy this particular channel, and to buy something like that, and keep in mind, you're really buying the assets, which are the videos, which in turn are creating cash. That particular channel was about $900,000 to $1 million to purchase, okay? Now, if you had the money to do that, I could put it this way. If you put that same $1 million and you bought a property, how much rent would that be producing for you, right? Think about that. Probably, best case, $1,500, I think, in today's climate. $1,500 a week, so we're talking $6,000 a month. Then you've got to take away all the other costs. Now, yes, you're going to say to me, but Matt, you know, the property's going to go up in value over time. And yeah, you're right. But just from a pure cash flow point of view, the YouTube channel is far exceeding the bricks and mortar property. Now, yes, of course, the differences are the property you can't sort of just get rid of. It's always going to be there. The YouTube channel's got other things that, you know, something could happen with the suspension of the accounts and all sorts of things. But basically, from a cash flow point of view, the YouTube channel is incredible. These are the types of businesses and the business models that I currently love. And I want to share with you now the person, which is my client, who was actually hell-bent on doing this beach bag business in Amazon. And remember, although I know what you're going to say, it's Amazon Ecom Secrets, right? And a part of me sharing with this information with you is not about me just saying Amazon and Ecom is fantastic, right? I want to also tell you the things that you need to be looking out for, some of the flaws with the business models, because these are some things that a lot of people who are doing Amazon courses don't tell you about, okay? So I'm not married to any type of platform, right? Whether it's Amazon or eBay, I'm really married to any platform or any business model that makes money. That's where you got to start thinking. My client, who was hell-bent on doing the beach bags, literally 2 days ago ended up buying a Kindle-based business. And the numbers around that were, and this is in US dollars, it was $88,000 to purchase. It was doing $4,500 US a month in profit. And it came with 88 books. It'd been operating for approximately 4 years on the Amazon space. And there's little things that we've sort of learned along the way as well with like a Kindle-based business is things like, you know, you can actually take your book that you produce and put it out into other marketplaces. There's turns out there's more than one Kindle, right? There's more than one Amazon Kindle. There's other sort of platforms that you could upload your book to, right? But what Amazon do is they're sneaky. They say, look, if you make your book exclusive to Amazon, we'll pay you extra commissions, right? So that's something incentivizing you to not put it with other places and keep it on one. So there's pros and cons with that because, of course, you know, you're diversifying the platforms. If you have multiple platforms, so if one goes down or something happens with that book on that platform, you've got the other one coming in. But a lot of guys I find who are into the Kindle space primarily dominate on just one platform like Kindle because that's where all the people seem to go, right? I'd never even heard of some of these other platforms, but I definitely heard about Kindle. The other thing about Amazon Kindle is you can have a paperback version, and that is actually a print-on-demand type system. So Amazon will take the order for you, print the book, and send it to the customer. You don't have to hold any inventory with that either. So you can actually have best of both worlds. You can have the digital version being the Kindle version and also have a physical product version produced on demand that you don't have to hold stock on, okay? Absolutely incredible. So huge opportunities for Fiona, my client, who's now just bought this Amazon Kindle-based business. The guy who actually was selling the business was based in Italy, of all places, and he's world-class in the Kindle space. He actually owns four different Kindle-type businesses, and this was just one that he wanted to sell. And of course, the question always comes up, well, if it's so good, why would he want to sell it? Well, he's got other priorities now, right? And it turned out he was buying a block of land. He needed some money really quickly, and that was just his choice, right? So he's just going to package up this particular Kindle-based business, sell it. Keep in mind, too, he's also getting a lump sum payment as well. So that was something that was of interest to him. And I can tell you as well, this came up during the conversations with Fiona, was that, you know, there was opportunity to grow the business. And Fiona's initial thought was, well, why isn't he doing that? Why isn't he investing the time to grow his business if there is opportunity to do that? And I can tell you that once you get to a certain level in wealth, yeah, when you become a multimillionaire, certain things don't interest you as much. So you might actually have a business, you know, let's say it's making $100,000 a year, but you know that if you spend more time every single week, you could probably get it to $120,000 a year. But you might also be making another $1 million a year doing something else. So there's not really a huge incentive for you to put your time and effort into getting the extra $20,000 out of that particular smaller business. And so it's a different mindset. We just think initially that, wow, everything you're going to do is to grow that business, but it has to be in the context of your overall wealth and where you're sitting in your current situation. So that was the reason why he didn't bother going and increasing the revenue on that business, which leaves the opportunity for Fiona to now step in and grow that business. And by growing the business with revenue and profit, she actually increases the value of that business. So I just want to give a big shout out to Fiona for taking the plunge, going in and setting herself up now for the future by obtaining this established Kindle book business. Now, I say established, why wouldn't she start this from scratch, you say? You know, because she's now having to fork out $88,000. Well, you're reducing the amount of time it takes to now start making money. Because as I said before, even when I talked about Amazon FBA type businesses by sending in your stock, you've got so much risk with that. And what I would now do is not only would I know what I, knowing what I know now, not only would I buy a digital type business, Kindle, YouTube, maybe even content websites, but I would also only do businesses. I would only start these if they were already existing. I want to buy the success from somebody else. They've already been through all the heartache. So even if it's books, they might have launched. In this case, there was 88 books that this guy had launched on this channel. Now, only about 20% of those books make 80% of the revenue. So a lot of those books don't really do that well. Now, if you're someone who's just, you've only produced some of those books that are not doing well, you're easily going to probably give up. This is not it. This doesn't work. I'm out of here. But this person has already bought, he's got the books with the great titles, with the great images, great content, and comes with a stack of reviews and revenue. He's already proven the concept that you can now jump in and buy from day one. Exactly like the Navy YouTube channel that I talked about, it was already making profit every single month to the tune of $40,000+ every single month. Incredible, right? And so if you're in the position, I would urge you to get some training on how to go and find those type businesses, which you can always reach out to me, I can steer you in the right direction, and also then become an expert in one of those particular niches, whether it's Kindle, whether it's YouTube channels, or even content sites. All right, guys, let's wrap up this video. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you found that really interesting about what I would do as a $50 million plus seller, now looking back and how I would go into further businesses. What is the business model for the future? It's digital. All right, take care. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.